The text this morning is coming from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 17. As Pastor Kelly continues with our devotional sermon series, this is entitled, Embrace Your Journey. And the word of the Lord reads, beginning with verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against him, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And having forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for your discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all you have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but further be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought with tears. Father God, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your presence. As Pastor Kelly comes and delivers the words, Father God, your message, let our eyes, our mouths, but especially our hearts be open to your will, your word, and your way. And may someone this morning who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ come to that saving knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Kelly.
You know, as we start 2026, for some of us, it's very difficult right now. Some of us, we have been blessed. But some of us are going through very difficult trials and tribulations. Some of us have lost very important people in our lives and are truly hurting. And I hope today is a day that encourages you or lifts you up. There are times that we don't really embrace what we're going through, but yet I do want to say that by God's word, I don't think he ever wastes a tear. God loves us. And what he has started in our lives, he will bring to fruition. Amen. We know that in Philippians 1:6. But he says, but in that journey, we live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world, sin affects each and every one of us. own sin affects us, but not only our own sin. And I often heard it said, well, God has heard people pray this, but this is only I know this, and maybe God knows this, so it won't affect. Our sin affects those around us as well. But other sin affects us too. And it is really hard to embrace when we're being disciplined. And that discipline comes in many different forms. And that's what we're going to try to look at today. It's going to be kind of difficult. But I love how the writer, and he knows at this time, he's wrapping his letter down. We know that we've talked about the importance of being devoted this entire past year. As we look now towards the new year, we're going to be talking about trusting in the Lord. And I'm not talking about trust. I'm talking about trust. Trusting the Lord. And what he's saying is embrace what God is doing in your life, even when it's difficult.
Amen.
Because he's doing a work in our lives. And and I love it. I'm kind of giving my conclusion right now. It's very clear here that if he didn't love you, then he wouldn't be working in your life. And as parents, it was hard for us sometimes to discipline our child.
Yes, sir.
But yet we did it because we were trying to get the very best out of them. I've often said, and it's very hard for a parent, the hardest thing is that we're raising our kids to leave us. So that they will be on their own. And I don't think it's any different that we're not going to leave the Lord, and the Lord's not going to leave us, but he is molding us and working on us. And I can tell you, as I look in my past life, as I look at what he's done in my life, I'm a better man today than what I was yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Because of his love and of his discipline. And so I want us to look at this. Better not forget this. So we're going to put up verses. Let's just do the verses 2-4. And the first point, as we try to embrace life, is consider your Savior. Continue to go back to the Savior.
Amen.
No matter where we're at, we want to continue to go back to that. Consider him who what endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So what do we consider here? Consider what he had to go through for our relationship to be established with the Father. Just take a moment. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what you're going through right now, take a moment to consider what Christ had to do so that the Father could embrace you and that you can embrace the Father.
All right.
What did he have to come to? And I think that's important. That's why we do the Lord's Supper, is it not?
Yes. Amen.
For us to stop as we look at doing that next Sunday, to remember we're doing that, to remember what he went through for you and for me.
Amen.
So that we can be embraced by the Father. To reestablish a relationship broken.
Thank you, Jesus.
The second thing he says this author to consider is consider what he endured from sinners' hostility against him. And that would be you. Right?
Amen.
Did not our sin put him on the cross?
Yes. Yes,
sir. I mean, it's easy for us to go, well, that was Joe Bob. That wasn't me.
Yeah.
But no, it was me too. I can't, once again, I know that the physical pain that he went through, him being nailed to the cross, the thorns, the beating, but I can't imagine for the life of me, and I don't think you can either, to even consider what we can consider, but we can't even comprehend the moment that he took upon the sin of the world. What he went through. It just gives you chills when you just stop and you think about it.
Amen.
And what he endured at that very moment. Because at that moment, not only did he take on the sins, but the Father could not embrace him and literally turned away from him. For you and me.
Amen.
The third thing he says to consider here is consider he did this so that you may not what? Grow weary. He knew. He knows what we go through. He knows us inside and out. He knows our hurts. He knows our weaknesses. But he considered what he went through so that you will not grow weary. And he also did this so that when we do grow weary, we have brothers and sisters who walk with us.
Amen.
And lift us up and pray for us.
Amen.
As we all go through those times where we don't want to embrace. And the fourth thing he says to consider is consider that your struggle against sin has not led you to the point of shedding your blood. And we don't have to. Why? Because he shed it for us. He did what we could not do. And how beautiful that is when you stop and you simply think about it. And once again, that's the Lord's Supper to when we take upon the blood of Christ to truly stop and remember the power that that blood has and what it did for you and me. And then we're going to look at verses 5 through 6. Very powerful here, 5 through 6. Because when we're going through difficult times or when we are being disciplined, look, it says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Now, we can take it a step further. Sons and what? Daughters. And if you are a child of the King, if you've come where you've asked Christ in your heart, then you are a child of the King. You are his son. And this writer is saying, first consider Christ. Now consider, do not forget who you belong to. That the Father himself, the Creator, the Alpha, the Omega, calls you son, calls you daughter. He embraces you. You have all the benefits of who he is as your father. And he says that, my son, do not forget. And I love it. It doesn't just say, don't forget that he addressed you. It says the exhortation. He says, that's my son. That's what the author is saying right there. And he says, my son, do not be weary when reproved by him. Susan and I talked because I was like, you know, I don't think we, every situation we're in that's bad, God's disciplining us. Do you? I don't think so. And so I like to flesh things out. So I was like, Susan, what do you think? I mean, how does God reprove us? How does he sometimes discipline us? He never leaves us, but I do think that he allows us to be in circumstances that we should not be in because of our choices, not because of his. Also think he knows what's going to happen down here, and so he's preparing me here. So what's going to happen down here? I also believe that there's certain times. Remember, David repented, and you got to love Psalms 51, but he still encountered the results of his sin. But it made him a better man. Matter of fact, at the end, he was known not as a person that did what he did, but he was known as a person who what? After God's own heart. So, I'm thankful that he does it. I'm thankful that my parents told me, if you cross the street, you're going to be in trouble. You understand? You don't understand the danger it is just to cross the street to go to the other side.
unless you know what you're doing. And I knew it wasn't because I loved my parents. I didn't want to get whooped right at first. And I don't know about you, but I got whooped. I didn't get beat, but I did get whooped. But yet that whooping turned into respect, and I didn't want to cross that street, not because of the danger, but just because I loved my parents and I didn't want to disrespect them. I didn't want to hurt them. And of course, we understand that now. If and when you become parents, you totally get that. All of a sudden, a light bulb goes on, and you're like, huh. Because I don't know about you, after you got whooped, there were times you were going, they hate me. They don't like me. God, do something to them. Right? But I am the man that I am today because of what my parents did in my life. I was not raised in a Christian home, but I was raised in a very disciplined home and very loving home. But God knew I needed that discipline to get me ready, that when I was a junior and he opened my eyes to who he was. And he says, don't grow weary of that. He's still teaching me every single day, and there's days that I just don't like it. I mean, there are times I do things that I think is the right thing, and he still corrects me. And I can either embrace that or learn from that. I hope you are learning as well. Next, he says, my son, the Lord disciplines the ones he what? He loves. Now, at the moment, you don't feel very loved. I got to be honest with you. Amen. But once again, as you become a parent, there are things you've got to do that are very difficult to do. But you're not your kids, your children's friends. You are their parents. Even, it just amazes me. I know when I was at school, if I got in trouble at school, then I got double at home. My parents always took the teacher's point of view first. Well, that isn't happening today at all. But God's the same way. God's going to take his point of view over my point of view every single time. But he does it because his point of view is right, and most of the time mine's not. Last thing he says here, verses 5 and 6, my son, he chastises every son whom he receives. You know, what he's saying is he corrects us. He said, we start to go in the wrong direction, and he picks us up and he puts us back right here. And then there are times he puts us down and we go, but I like this way. And he picks us up and he puts us back and you go, but I want to go this way. And then he goes, all right, we'll go that way for a while. Look, we want a king. You don't want a king. We want a king. You don't want a king. We want a king. All right. You have a king. But they were disciplined through that whole process, were they not? All right, let's look at verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as what? Sons. Oh, I love that. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not what? Discipline. I love that. If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are what? Illegitimate children? Well, it's a good thing he doesn't pull any punches there, does he? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful the father disciplines. I'll never forget this. Never forget this. And then I remember the day that I said it, but I was raised at a bowling alley. Tuesday night, my parents were in the bowling league, okay? All the kids would be in the locker room and we'd be loud, we'd be noisy, and then they'd call in the loudspeaker, parents, you need to get your children. They'd come get us, and then in 5 minutes later, all the children would go back to the locker room, except my brother and I. We knew we were even great leaders back then, telling kids, y'all be quiet, because y'all get to come back. We don't get to come back. And I'll never forget my father, because we'd have to sit there for the rest of the time and watch them bowl. And here's the favorite line. That's not fair. They're getting to play. Well, if they were my child, then their butts would be in the seat as well. Yes or no? Anybody hear that before? I'll never forget. We were at a restaurant, and some of the kids were running around, and my kids started to get up, and I said, sit back down. And Kelson looked at me and said, but I want to get up. And I said, no, you're going to sit down. Well, they're up. I said, well, if they were my children, their butts would be in the seat too. And that's when you go. Sounded just like my father. But can you hear God? Believe me, if they're my child, they're going to be sitting down as well. You see, those running around, that's not my children, but you are. And I love you so much, I'm going to show you. Because I want you to be the very best that you can be. Guys, I want you to think throughout history, what culture has been disciplined more than any other culture is Jewish people, his chosen people. And there's a reason why, because they are his chosen. Thank goodness he allowed us to be grafted in and become part of the Jewish nation. But with that becomes responsibility, because he has opened our eyes to the truth. And you look at the Jewish people, and oh my goodness, read the Old Testament and you see again and again and again and again, especially Judges. But he loved them. They are still his chosen people. And he is waiting for them to turn back to him. And so I know there are times in your life that you feel like God has left you, especially when he has disciplined you or he's allowing you to go through something. But you are his child, and he is molding you and starting to work in you and making you the woman and the man that he has called you to be. So embrace that. And on the days that you can't embrace it, then call that brother or sister that God has put in your life to walk this journey with you. And just tell them you're having a bad day. I have it too. There are days I don't want to get up here. It's because I'm unworthy. Not because of pride or... It's because I know that I shouldn't be up here. Because I didn't embrace the Lord daily, or I lost my temper in a way that I shouldn't have lost it. And instead of calling a brother or sister in Christ, I tried to fix it myself. And I just made it worse. So my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't regard it. My son, do not grow weary when he reproves you. My son, the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. He chastises every son. And then next is, it is his discipline that you must endure. You see, God treats you as his beloved son and through his discipline. And then it says this, if he does not discipline, then you are an illegitimate child, meaning you don't belong to him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever realized that it seems like that these people that don't know the Lord are getting away with scot-free, and you do one thing and you're like, oh God, what is the problem here? It's because they're illegitimate children. They don't know the Lord. And we have to remember, I get frustrated, but we can't expect those who are lost to act like those who are what? Saved. But yet we do. But God reproves them differently than the way he reproves us. At least according to these verses right here. Did your earthly father not discipline you and you respected him? Not everybody, but most of us. I mean, God bless you if you didn't have a father in your life who loved you. And that's a whole nother sermon, right? Amen. Then how much more shall we not be subject to the Holy Spirit who is doing a work in us? For our earthly father disciplines us for a short time as it seems best to them. But listen to this. The heavenly father disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his, what does it say? His what? Let's underline that. We get to share in his holiness. Amen. We are set apart. That's what that means. We get to share in him being set apart, being that child, being that daughter of God. Man, let that encourage you. Let that word claim that word. We get to share through his discipline in his holiness. Ooh, I've never seen that. I don't know how many times you've read that, but I've never really let that sink into my heart or even claimed that scripture. How beautiful. Strive to allow the disciplines or to embrace it to show you that holiness, to show you what God is genuinely trying to teach you. Really seek. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through that pain and that hurt for nothing. I want to ask the Lord or even say, God, give me wisdom. God, help me. God, let me learn. God, make me a better man. Make me a better person. Show me what you're trying to teach me. Which brings us to the last few verses. And I titled this, Therefore, Children of the Living Father. And look what he says. Therefore. Okay, anytime it says therefore, he's saying, because of all this, because you've considered, because you've looked at the discipline, because you know the Father is your Father, therefore, now this is where he gets the application. Therefore, lift your drooping hands. I know we're Baptists, but this is okay. Amen?
Amen. Yes, sir.
And we're praising the Lord. We're lifting our hands and we're praising him. We're not walking as defeated people. We are walking victoriously. Even in the storm, we are lifting our hands. Strengthen your weak knees. We do that through his word. We do that with each other to help one another. And make straight your paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be what? Healed. That is what we call repentance. It's amazing. I read it last week. The church, people in the church feel like we can just add Jesus to what we've got, but you don't add Jesus. You repent. You repent. You become a new creation. What was lame is now healed because we're walking straight our path towards him. Repentance is not a one-time deal. Repentance happens daily. Daily. Minute, second, I guess, if we want to get down to it, amen? Joe Bob the theologian over here, that was awesome. I'm with you, brother. Every once in a while. Come on. Yeah. And then he says this, strive for peace with everyone. I don't like that. Let's mark out everyone and just put few people. Huh? Was that you, Miss Terry? It says what? Everyone. Well, God, you don't know how difficult this person is. And God's going, yeah, I do. Believe me, I do. But God, you just don't seem to understand. Well, yeah, I do. You don't understand. Oh. As much as I'd like to mark that out, you can't. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one would see the Lord. What is he talking about here? He's talking about your witness, is he not? Once again, how will the lost world know who he is if they don't see it in us? Especially in the way the church treats one another. He's very clear about that. That's what he's saying here. Embrace the reproof so that you will walk and your witness will be so incredible for the Lord that people will see Christ in you. Amen. Therefore, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God because of the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. That's tough. If people want to lead the church, they're going to find an excuse. You might as well know that. Right? But God forbid I'm that excuse. Once again, you have to give that bitterness over to the Lord every day. Or it's going to fester up. And then you start living through the bitterness instead of the blood of Christ. Now, you're still saved. But at that point, Satan has made you ineffective to reach those for the Lord because you're living in the bitterness and not in his grace. Not in the power of his grace. And once again, that's daily too. It just says repentance. Because if you don't repent, if you don't get rid of that bitterness, it's just going to keep festering. And it's like a blister that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I love Pastor Freeman. I love him, but he's not Christ. And so the day that Pastor Freeman lets me down, he's my brother in Christ. We come together, we work that out, and we don't allow that bitterness to affect him or me, and especially we don't allow that bitterness to keep me from being with the bride of Christ. Because you've heard it and I've heard it, people won't go to church because of something somebody did. That's not the bride of Christ, that was that person. And unfortunately, we all are going to make mistakes. If you're coming here because of me, I'm going to let you down sooner or later. You just might as well know that. I am. You come here because God has called you here. You don't come here because of a certain ministry or something we do. Because if you are, that ministry is going to let you down. Because it's worked through human by man. But I'm here and I'm faithful because this is where God has called me to be. And he's called me to walk in his love and in his grace and not in bitterness. So when I do get bitter, I go back and do what he just told me to do. Consider what Christ has done for me. Consider what God is doing in your life right now. Understand that he loves you and he has put you where you are because he's trying to mold you into the person you need to be. Sometimes we're where we're at because we put ourselves in that situation, not God. I love when people go, well, Satan made me do it. I know Satan's going, well, great, I'll take credit, but you did that on your own. Right? You can't blame everything on him. But I'm thankful that God loves us and he understands that. And he keeps doing a work in my life and he doesn't give up on me. Now, I still think he gives us the choice to go through what he's telling us to go through here. Because if we don't, then I do believe we will become bitter. And last, do not be led by your earthly desires like Esau, who missed out on his blessing. I wonder sometimes, because of the decisions and the things that I've done in my life, what I have missed out on that God had put aside for me. But because of my decisions, I did not get that. Because I decided to follow my desires and my wants. I decided to follow my timetable and not his timetable. And it sometimes breaks my heart. I am thankful what he has done. Don't get me wrong. But what have I settled for that he had so much more planned for because I didn't do what the writer here tells me to do? I love this quote by Tom Landry. If you're a true Cowboy fan, you know who that is. Amen? Okay. The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. Isn't that a great quote? As I really believe, that's what God is doing in each of our lives as well. He is molding us. He is shaping us. He has not left us. And he wants us to embrace what he is doing. And guys, he might have had a whole different plan, but because of our decisions, because of what we've done, but he still loves us, and he still, that's where I believe his sovereignty comes in. He's still taking us and molding us and making us into who he wants us to be, despite what we've done.